The following episode contains coarse language. Please be advised.
You're listening to Inside the Village, where all news is local and no topic is off limits.
So help me, Bob, it's Bully in the Alley.
Hey, Bully in the Alley.
So help me, Bob.
Welcome back to Inside the Village, alongside Michael Friscoletti, Editor-in-Chief here at Village Media. I'm Scott Sexsmith. It is so good to be back. We've been on hiatus for a couple of weeks.
I know. We keep trying to do this once a week, and then the summer just keeps getting away on us. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to get back to once a week.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of gets a pass in the summer. You know, people are on holidays. It's hard to secure guests.
Yes.
People probably want a break from us.
You don't get off the golf course.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
And that season, sadly, is winding down. Anyway, we're back, and you're right. We will be making every effort to do this every Wednesday. So how you been?
I've been good, brother. You know, we're in the middle of a move, so I've packed up all my things, including my clippers. So I can't seem to find where they are. So this beard might be ZZ Top style by the time we move.
It's crazy the length that
I know.
It's filling out like
crazy.
It's
out of control. I'm not doing it on purpose, but I don't have any other option.
We could find you another set of clippers if, you know.
Yeah. Well, maybe Derek. Derek might probably has a nice set.
He's got a good beard,
too.
Yeah,
I would think so.
You guys should have a conversation. all right. Let's fire this thing up again. The first word to Frisco. Again, the editorial and reporting staff across the Village Media Network doing some phenomenal work.
Yeah. And sadly, yesterday was one of those examples. Sunday, the whole province was reading about the tragic death of six young people in Barrie, died in a car accident. Just horrible things, horrible situation going on there. And our team in Barrie today is doing what they do best in difficult times, doing great journalism, telling the stories of some of these young people who passed away, trying to understand what happened, gathering all the facts. And they've been an important source for people in the community to turn to. I know I've read all their coverage, you know, every piece, every word they've written on it so far. And it's those moments when things go really bad and there's terrible tragedies that you really see how important journalism, especially local journalism, is, because people in the community are looking for accurate information, looking to hear the stories of these people, and they're turning to Barrie today for that.
And this is the kind of situation that rocks an entire community, an entire city. And I know that the staff in Barrie are doing everything that they can to make sure that the events are reported accurately and efficiently.
And that's what you really look to, right? And that's, you know, I'm biased, of course. These are our sites, but
sure.
But we do amazing local journalism, and it's in times like this, like I said, where you hate to use the word shine, but you really do shine. You really see the work they're doing and how important it is. And it's just, you really see how people in the community, they now are saying, okay, I need to know information, and they know where to turn for it. And that's what we do.
It's just an awful tragedy, Frisco, and I can't imagine what the families of those six kids are going through. Terrible stuff. We will continue to follow it, though, on Barrie today. Okay, interesting story out of Cambridge and the mayor. What on earth is going on?
Yeah, this is another great example. Now there's municipal election time. It's another great example where journalism, especially local journalism, really shines. And Doug Cox, an editor in Cambridge, has been looking into the mayor there and where she lives.
Right.
She lives, and she's admitted that she lives outside of the city boundaries in a town nearby.
And you have to live within city limits, right, or rent or lease?
You have to live in the city,
yep.
Or, and this is all for Ontario, or you have to rent or lease a space,
right,
in
Got
town.
It.
And the mayor there has always leased a space in town, and it gets vetted by the elections officials there, and it's approved. This year, her nomination listed an office in a chiropractor's office in a medical building. So Doug took a closer look at that office, and when he went there, nobody there had ever heard of her and didn't know that she was there. Talked to the owner of the building. He said, there's nobody by that name who leases a space here. And if there's a sublease, it's not allowed because we're not allowed to do subleases.
Right.
So the person, the chiropractor who leases out that space, has told Doug that, yes, I have some subleases, but I'm not going to tell you who they are. So a lot of questions raised about it, right? And of course, the community has, there's people in the community have a lot of questions saying, like, is she actually using the space, or is it just a piece of paper? Is it just a receipt that she has for this? And so a big story out in Cambridge, and Doug's laid it all out there for people to read, and they can make their own conclusions on it.
And not the only mayor that's in the news on this episode of ITV. More on that coming up in a couple of minutes. And lastly, just a real feel good story out of Sault Ste. Marie on Sioux today about the new equipment manager for the Sioux Greyhounds.
This has to be one of my favorite stories of the week, right? The Hounds put out a press release that said, "We've named Nike Simpson the new equipment manager." And of course, the first thing you think is, wait a minute, their new equipment manager is named Nike? So of course, Brad Cochimilio, our great Greyhounds reporter up here, got on the story, talked to the equipment manager about how he got his name. Apparently, his dad was a marathon runner for a long time, was either going to name his son Nike or Brooks. And I don't know if Brooks even exists anymore.
I don't think they do.
No, they do. But thankfully, luckily for him, he went with Nike. So like you said, a funny story, good nature. The guy was great about it. Talked about how he got that name and just how excited he is to now have a chance to be in the OHL doing his job. Yeah. So Nike Simpson, best name in equipment managing for sure.
If that kid can't get free swag, nobody can get free swag.
I know. And 100%.
It sure is a good thing his dad didn't wear Adidas. All right, the first word to Frisco, ITV, Inside the Village returns with an interesting story out of Peterborough and the mayor of Peterborough. That's next on Inside the Village.
From newsmakers to celebrities to other prominent guests, you'll find them all on Village Media's new interview series, Up Close and Personal. Join host Scott Sexsmith as he goes one-on-one with well-known Canadians to hear their story. Up Close and Personal. Look for it on your favorite Village Media website across Ontario.
Welcome back to Inside the Village with Michael Friscalanti, Editor-in-Chief here at Village Media. I'm Scott Sexsmith. Inside the Village, of course, is brought to you by our good friends at True North Mortgage. True North Mortgage, where you'll get great advice and save a pile of cash. TrueNorthMortgage.ca. All right. The mayor of Peterborough, the last couple of weeks, has been in the news for a tweet that she sent out.
I have to be honest, Diane Terrion is not someone that I'd read a lot about before. I didn't even know she was the mayor of Peterborough. I mean, I don't live in Peterborough. But I guess they've had some hardcore QAnon supporters come into town threatening to arrest some police officers for, you know, the various lockdown COVID measures and things like that. And she had a pretty candid response to them on her Twitter feed.
She certainly did. Candid and colorful, and we should probably forewarn viewers and listeners of Inside the Village that you're about to hear some language that you are likely not used to hearing on this show, but we do believe in free speech, and Diane certainly is that. We are pleased to be joined by the mayor of the city of Peterborough, Diane Terrion. Diane, welcome to Inside the Village. It's great to have you here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you've received a little bit of a publicity in the last week or two. Maybe you could kind of give us the backstory as to what led to where we are today.
Sure. So there's been, you know, we've been dealing with a global pandemic for over 2 years now, and in the city of Peterborough, we've seen specifically sort of an arising of like the really right wing anti-government, anti-mandate kind of everything, which has been very, very, very weird. And so a couple weeks ago, they were coming through town again with their like QAnon queen of Canada, who's, you know, a self-appointed alien, I think. I don't fully understand. It's wild.
We don't want to fully understand that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's like I can't. And we've been dealing with this for like upwards of 2 years in terms of like protests and people, you know, disturbing the downtown and blocking traffic and preventing families from enjoying the city, all that kind of stuff. And so that happened again in spades two Saturdays ago, where they came to town with the explicit intent of like, we're going to arrest the police, put the police under citizens' arrest, which obviously didn't go that well. And yeah, and then I was asked for a comment. People were asking me to comment, and so I sent out a tweet that said how I feel. It had some coarse language in it, apparently, and then here we are.
Can you read that tweet for us?
I can. Basically, the end was, you know, I hate giving these people the spotlight. Like, I really, but again, ignoring fascism and like the right-wing ideology that is trying to impede on everybody else's freedom is not helpful either. So the punchline was, I said, fuck off, you fuckwads.
We laugh about it now, but as you typed that, could you even imagine how much attention it would have received?
No. Well, I mean, it's funny. My mom did an interview earlier this week with the CBC, and they were asking, like, so were you surprised when you saw the tweet? And she's like, no, I know, Diane. And she taught me the F word when I was like 2 years old. Like, she didn't mean to. Those of you that are parents know that whatever you say around your kids, they're going to pick up on. So at one point in the car, she got cut off and she was like, that fucker. And then me being 2 years old just was like, that fucker.
Thanks, Mom.
That's how it rolls. That's how it rolls.
That's
right?
Great. That's great. But seriously, if you type that out, I mean, obviously you got a lot of reaction. Could you imagine how much reaction it received?
No, really. It was surprising. I was at the Association of Municipalities of Ontario conference in Ottawa when I sent it out, and then I like biked to the venue, and then I was like, what is happening on my phone? But I think that part of the reason it's so resonant with people is because this group of people have been like disrupting the peace. They've been, you know, spreading lies and disinformation and hatred and all that kind of stuff for years, and unchallenged by a lot of people in positions of power. And so I think that, you know, the vast majority of Canadians who are like, you know, doing their thing, getting vaccinated, being safe, all that kind of stuff, are fed up with this small group of people fucking it up for the rest of us.
Yeah, I guess I think what was surprising was you rarely hear a politician be so candid and speak in those terms, right? The way a lot of people think about some of these groups.
Yeah.
That was what was surprising about it.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting thing because, like, the people that are mad about the tweet, like, the main theme of complaints is, like, you have no class, you have no class. And I'm like, well, it's true that I didn't go to private school. It's true that, like, I'm from the lower income segment of society, but we're allowed to be around the table, too. And so I think that part of it is trying to reframe that narrative around what politicians are supposed to sound like, because I've heard some very vile things said at all levels of politics by people who aren't swearing, but they're saying racist and misogynistic and homophobic stuff, but they're saying it under the veil of decorum. And it's just, it's like, how is, like, that's so much worse than me telling a couple people to fuck off.
And I think for me, and just to build on your point, Fresco, I think it was so refreshing to experience that honesty. You know, call it the way you see it, black and white, no holds bar. It was very refreshing to me, but not the first time that you've used foul language in a tweet, if I recall.
That's just how I roll. Like, you know, part of the reason that I got elected, I think, was because I like to think I have like a level of authenticity and like talking to people, like I'm not showing up and being like, henceforth, we shall therefore do this. Like, that's not how I talk. But people like relate to that. They want, you know, politicians that actually say what's on their mind without all the filtering and the, you know, approval through the party system or whatever, which, you know, at the municipal level, we don't have. But even still, like, this is why it's on my personal Twitter account. Mm-hmm. The official Mayor City Peterborough account, like, my assistant would never tweet those.
Well, that's a great point. I didn't realize that it was on your personal account. That's actually an important point. That's good to know.
It is.
Has the reaction been split down the middle, or have you had most people saying, way to go, Diane?
It hasn't been split down the middle. It's been like 95% of people being like, thank you for saying, like, speaking up. I had calls from like Detroit, Boston, every province in Canada, like Florida. People were like, thank you very much.
Florida.
I know. You wouldn't think that. And then like, again, the odd, like the 5% that are like mad about it are the ones that are like, you need to watch your fucking mouth, you fucking whore. And I'm like, okay, this is... That's a really interesting.
Hello, pot. This is the kettle.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. I'm like, you're mad at me for my language, but here you are. Okay.
So you're at the meeting of the Association of Municipalities at the time you sent that tweet. Is that what you said?
That's right. Yeah.
So what did other mayors and other civic officials say to you who were in the room with you?
Well, it was funny. funny because I like sent it out, I think, on like, and anyways, it was like later into the night. And I know that some people came to talk to me. And then my my colleague, Counselor Kemia Kappa, was there too. And she was there on a panel the Wednesday. And she was like, oh my God, so many people came up to me after to talk about your tweet. But I think most mayors were like, wish they could, and they can. You don't need to wish to say it. You can just take the, you know, take the blinders off and say what you mean. But the ones that are running for re-election, I understand that there's like a little bit of, you know, you have to be a little bit more conscious about it. Even though I've had people say like, oh, I'm going to vote for you now. And I would not have voted for you before.
Diane, it's been a couple of weeks since this happened. Can you give us a rough idea of how many press interviews or requests you've had since this happened?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it was a lot. When I was up in Ottawa, it was like nonstop. So, and I have a couple more today. I don't know. There's probably been about like 20 to 30.
Wow.
That's wild. Here's the only thing that I'm torn on, and I'm in no way saying you should have done what you've done, but I struggle a bit because I get frustrated. I was talking to my wife the other day about the fuck Trudeau signs and the flags and the bumper stickers I see everywhere.
Yeah.
Whether you like Trudeau or not, it's I don't like those signs. There's something, they have people wave those flags outside their door. My kids walk by. They walked by one the other day. So I'm kind of torn about this because I don't know. But then in your situation, you can see where it's valid to want to lash out like that and speak like that to these people because of just the stupidity of what they're doing. But what's the fine line here? I mean, is there a way we can ever go back to where we are civil with each other, that we can actually speak to one another? Have we passed that point?
I mean, if you look historically, you know, at social trends in the last, you know, 200 years, I mean, things are more civil now than they have been. Like, people used to get assassinated, you know, which, I mean, and still happens. But, you know, it's a whole different world being on social media, having that kind of thing. So that is seen as being less civil. But really, you know, women are allowed to vote and be in positions of power. So that's more civil than it was 70 years ago. And I understand where you're coming from. Like, but it's funny, too, because the people that get the most offended about my language are the ones that have the fuck Trudeau signs.
Yeah,
and, I'm, you know, sure. And when I use the word fuck, it's like at a, it's like at, not at a specific person. It's like a general, to the general populace who are acting like this. And I think to your kids, you just kind of say, you know, like, there's a lot of crazy stuff happening in the world today. This is just one word. It's a four-letter word that we assign and attribute meaning to, which makes it, you know, seem like it's a bad word. But you can use swearing effectively when you need to. Mm-hmm.
So, Dan, you're not running for re-election?
That's correct.
How come?
Oh, gosh. Don't have the time.
Oh, yes, we do.
It just seems everyone's like, wow, I really like this lady. I like that she speaks up for herself and she's speaking the truth. And now it's, oh, she's not going to be the mayor anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I ran 4 years ago for mayor, like, I didn't foresee a global pandemic and like the housing and opioid crisis wasn't so pronounced. But there's also a lot of stuff at City Hall. The three progressive women on Peterborough City Council, none of us are running again.
Oh.
So that's, says something about the culture at City Hall and the culture at council, that the three progressive women, the other two just did one term and they're like out of here.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's like, it's a bigger conversation about like the misogyny and the sexism and the ageism that some of us deal with. And just the fact that the role of a municipal politician has changed so much. I don't know what it's like in Sault Ste. Marie, but like in Peterborough, our councillors are ostensibly part-time. They've been part-time since the 80s when the city was, you know, a quarter of the size that it is.
Yeah.
And so now you have people that are, the constituents think that they're 24/7, but most of them have other jobs because they need to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a very weird time to be in municipal politics. And then when you have everything being downloaded from the feds and then trying to deal with the Ford government at the province where they're just cutting everything and making everything worse, it's not easy.
So what's next for you then?
Oh.
Or maybe you'll just tweet about it and we'll find out.
Yeah, you tweet about it. Yeah, I'm going to do a little bit of traveling. I'm going out to BC for a little bit, which will be fun. And yeah, and then we'll see. Maybe I'll come to the Sioux.
There you go.
Diane, one of the great byproducts that came out of this, I was watching the Dean Blundell podcast several days ago, and I guess there's a T-shirt fundraiser that Dean is helping you put together. Maybe you can speak to that and tell us about it, and more importantly, how people can get the T-shirts and support the cause.
Yeah, sure. So it was funny that last week was such a whirlwind when all this went down, and Dean Blundell wanted me to go on the show, and who I listened to as a teen, like all the time. It was like a weird childhood dream coming true. And I had a few people say, "Oh, you should make T-shirts." And so Dean and his and Lachlan and their little team, they have a merch company, and so they were like, "Okay, we'll make the T-shirts and we'll donate the proceeds to a charity of your choice." Mm. So, which is awesome. So there's a really fantastic group. This is the thing too. Like there's a lot of places in Peterborough I'd love to donate the money, but it's like, considering it's coming from the sales of a shirt that says "fuck off, you fuckwads," I was like, there's going to be some charities that can't, the board of directors is going to not be happy with that. And so I reached out to the Peterborough AIDS Resource Network, PARN, who are political just by existing. Like they started existing back in the 90s to help people with HIV and intravenous drug users and like the most marginalized folks. So they're political just by existing. So I called them and I said, can we send the proceeds to you? And they were like, yeah, fuck yeah.
That could be another T-shirt.
I was going to ask them for their.
So the last update I got, it was like over $2,500 already, which is great.
Amazing. So where do we get these T-shirts? How do you order them?
So they're on the Dean Blundell like merch website. Mm-hmm. Apparently there's also like a bunch of like counterfeit ones being sold now too. I'm like using the image on my Instagram, my selfie. I'm like, oh my God, you know, you've made it when. But if you actually want the proceeds to go to charity, buy it from the Dean Blundell website.
That's amazing. The other ones are made by QAnon, probably. I shouldn't laugh. It's a wild story. It's great meeting you, Diane. Is there anything about this experience that we didn't ask you about that you want to get across, or that's a good memory?
I think it's just, again, like the big piece that I'm trying to leave here, and the whole time that I've been in politics, the 8 years that I've been on city council, is trying to change the narrative around like who belongs in politics and who like deserves to be in politics. Cause people, I've been told the whole time, you're not going to win. You don't deserve it. You're not from here. You wait your turn, all those things. And so my whole goal has been to try to make municipal politics cool for young people, which I used to be one, but I am increasingly not. but people will tell you, you know, that it's not your turn, that you can't do it, but that's bullshit. It is your turn and you can. And there's a municipal election coming up in October, and you don't need to be the candidate, but if you can volunteer in whatever way to support a candidate, whether it's making phone calls, doing social media, putting signs in lawns, fundraising, spreadsheets, cooking, making cookies for the team, like it doesn't, any talent that you have, you can put towards helping a good progressive candidate get elected wherever you live.
Well, Diane, I think it's safe to say that thank you for saying what many of us have thought, but maybe didn't have the courage to say on the platform that you did. You're a breath of fresh air, if nothing else. And best of luck. It's too bad that you're not running again. It would be interesting to follow you for the next 4 years to see. I'm sure you wouldn't disappoint. That's for sure.
I would not. Yeah.
You probably would have fucking crushed it.
Diane Terrien, the outgoing mayor of the city of Peterborough. Thanks for doing this today. It's
been great. Gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. That was great. She had my heart, oh, very
nearly. For the latest in in-depth features and enterprise journalism from your local writers at Village Media, be sure to check out The Big Read. The Big Read. It's the full story behind the headlines. Look for The Big Read on your favorite Village Media website across Ontario. Hey, hey, bully in the alley. So help me.
me, Bob. It's Bully in the Alley.
Welcome back to Inside the Village as we wrap for another week. Frisco and Scott back with you. You know, what a breath of fresh air Diane was. So refreshing to see somebody speak their mind.
It's always, I always appreciate that. Someone who's honest and candid and isn't, you know, reading from media lines during our interviews. And she speaks from the heart. And it's always nice to have that kind of person come on the show.
I think you and I should start walking around the office dropping F-bombs just to see what kind of reaction.
I still feel uncomfortable from how many we dropped just in that show. I hope we don't lose any of our 7 listeners because of that.
It would be a shame, and it's probably a good thing that tape isn't rolling all the time.
That's right.
When we're walking around. All right. You wanted to give a shout-out to somebody before we go?
Yeah. Speaking of listeners, I just want to say hi to Gino Pastorero, my old friend from the Sioux who now lives in Sudbury. Honest story. He stopped me on the street a couple weeks ago. He's visiting family back home. And said, I love your show. I listen to it all the time. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't believe him. But then he started listing every episode. I really liked this guest. I really liked this expert you had on. You know, I really liked it. And I was like, Gino, you really listen to them all? He goes, honestly, I listened to them in my car. I was driving with my mom the other day. We had it on. My aunt listened to it. And he goes, I've even got some of my teacher friends hooked on the show. So
that's terrific.
You know, I've known him a long time. He seems like an honest guy. So I'm going to believe him. So shout out to Gino and Gino Pastorero and Sudbury and all our listeners that he's getting on board over there.
Absolutely. Full props to Gino. Maybe we should follow Diane's lead and get T-shirts.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
I don't know what we'd put on them.
Yeah, we'd have to think of something that's a little more...
Maybe we can hire her as a creative consultant for our T-shirts.
Well, she's going to be looking for work soon, so
that's right. All right, Inside the Village brought to you by True North Mortgage, truenorthmortgage.ca, where you'll get great advice and save a pile of cash. We'll be back again next week. In the meantime, you can check us out at insidethevillage.ca. You can also find us wherever you get your favorite podcasts and, of course, across the Village Media Network. For Michael Friscoletti, I'm Scott Sexsmith. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Inside the Village.
Frisco and Scott's wardrobe provided in part by Moores, Sault Ste. Marie.